Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Very familiar account of that Easter morning found in verses 1 through 7. Here again, the word of the living God. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." This is the word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, you and I remember important events and times in our lives. We often remember things that were spoken to us. We remember events like the birth of our first child, or maybe you remember the second, third, and fourth one as well. But that first one sometimes is memorable. Some of us can remember the events that occurred when the end of wars came about. Some of you here today can remember back to the time of the ending of World War II. Many of us remember where we were when we heard that our president, John F. Kennedy, was assassinated. Some of us remember watching on television the landing on the moon, an astounding event. And some of us remember where we were and how we saw the twin towers of the World Trade Center destroyed by terrorists. We remember these events, and they are etched in our minds. I think the women who came to the tomb to see the body of Jesus, to bring the spices to anoint that body as they would for the dead, had a memorable moment etched in their minds when they came to the tomb on that resurrection Sunday. Remember, they were preoccupied in their thoughts. They were coming to anoint the body of Jesus. Perhaps they were thinking, what will we do because there are guards posted there? And then the big question, of course, how are we going to move that stone? Because a big stone had been placed in front of the tomb. And I would assume that it was large enough that it would have been a very difficult thing for even a number of men to move, because the point of the stone rolled into the entrance of the tomb was to seal it. And I would imagine that once it was in that position, it would have been very difficult for anyone to move. And what did they find when they first came? They were confronted with angels, frightening angels. Angels who, the Bible says, their appearance was like lightning, and they were clothed as though they were white as snow. And yet, that's not the only thing that would be etched in their memory. That was just the beginning of their experience. For that angel that was there at the tomb said to them, "Do not be afraid," and he says, "Come and see the place where the Lord was laid. He is not here. He is risen." And then he says, "Go quickly and tell the disciples he is risen from the dead." In fact, I would suggest to you that what would be etched in the memory of these women who came to that early tomb were the four words the angel spoke in this verse that we have in front of us this morning. Each word is a command. It is in the imperative form. Therefore, it's a command. A command, not a suggestion, but a command. And each of these commands are what we are going to look at this morning, and they are simple words: come, see, go, and tell. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Go, tell about his resurrection. Let's look at the word come for a moment. It is a command. He invites them to come, having allayed their fears and saying, don't be afraid. He's risen. The one that you're looking for is not here. But come and see where he lay. There was much to frustrate their coming and to view the tomb. As I said, they were coming to a graveyard and to a grave. They were coming to a tomb which, under the edict of the Roman Empire, had been sealed with soldiers stationed to guard the grave. In fact, there's a discussion in the latter part of chapter 27 of Matthew's Gospel of the leaders of the Sanhedrin who took great precautions to prevent anything that would resemble the story of the resurrection, because as they discussed it, they said, you know, they talk about his being raised from the dead. They said, okay, then let's prevent that. We're going to put a guard on the tomb. They got the approval for it. And they thought, that's going to take care of any story about resurrection that would take place. Not only would the Roman authority frustrate them in their coming to the tomb, but their own unbelief. We don't find much in terms of the New Testament that speaks of where the early disciples were in their understanding and in their belief of the truth of the resurrection. In fact, we find much that suggests otherwise. Until after Jesus rose again from the dead and the Holy Spirit came and opened their minds and understanding to see, oh, that's what he said. Now I understand what he meant. Those disciples and these women who were followers of Christ as well did not have a great understanding of the resurrection. In fact, I would suggest that many did not expect a literal resurrection at all. And yet there was this invitation to come. 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 A command. Come and see where he lay, where the angels had rolled away the stone so that they could see there was no body. The angels came to roll away the stone, not for Jesus to be able to be raised from the dead, for he is Lord. He could pass through the granite rock. He is God. But I believe that they came for the singular purpose of rolling away the stone so that the eyewitnesses who came to that grave, to that tomb, would have the ability to peer into that tomb and see the truth for themselves. It's empty. He's risen. He's risen indeed. And this is a command to come and see that tomb. Let's look at the next command. See. We may ask, what should we see? An empty tomb. Well, of course. The women were looking for a crucified man. They found an empty tomb. They found no body because they heard from the angel the announcement of a risen Savior. But we see the empty grave in order to understand several things. We understand, first of all, that the Lord Jesus condescended to become a man, leaving the glory of heaven, leaving the glory of his Father's presence and that intimate communion and fellowship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He came to be born of the Virgin Mary so that he might become a man. Though he was equal in power and glory with eternal God, the Lord Jesus laid aside the outward evidences of that glory to take upon himself the form of a man, so that he might come in the likeness of our flesh, that he might die and save us. And the grave shows us that Jesus did just that. And when we see the grave, we also see the horror of our sin. Because it was our sin that put Jesus upon the cross and in that grave. He died for our sin. He died in our place. He died so that we might be delivered. He was pierced for our transgressions, says Isaiah. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. The grave is a powerful declaration that it was my sin, the sin of every believer, that put Jesus in that tomb. But we should also observe that when we see that grave, that empty tomb. It's also a reminder to each of us that we too one day will lie in a grave unless the Lord comes first. We will leave loved ones and friends behind. We will leave all of our possessions, no matter what you've done to accumulate them or what you've done to keep them. When you die, you go out of this world the way you came in, as the old saying goes. And the testimony of the Bible and our own experience is true. We will die. We see the grave, we see our mortality. And we are taught by that there is something beyond this life, which is not eternal here on earth. A life beyond this life for which we must prepare. A life that's eternal with God and God alone. The grave is that testimony to everyone that says, you had better be ready, because one day you too will lie in a grave. And you must be ready for that day. You will meet your God. But most importantly, we see that empty tomb. And most importantly, that empty tomb on Resurrection Sunday morning, when the women went to the grave, was a testimony that Jesus wasn't in it. He is not there. He is risen. The linen clothes were there and lay just as they had been wrapped around the body of Jesus. They laid there in that empty tomb as silent witnesses to the resurrection of the Lord who passed into the heavens, risen, who conquered death itself. And the resurrection is that one great evidence for the power of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is the story of the gospel. The resurrection is the heart of the gospel. The resurrection is that one incontrovertible fact that says to everyone that God is God and we must hear His word. The tomb says He lives. The empty grave says He lives. He conquered death. His body is not in that grave. No disciples came by night to secretly steal the body. Oh, that was a story that not only was made up, and we hear about it in the New Testament, but we hear about it in history. But you know what? Nobody's ever found the body. And nobody has ever given any credence to that conspiracy theory. No one has robbed the grave. The angels rolled away the stone seal from the mouth of that tomb so that the witnesses would be the ones to see not that the body had been stolen, but that Jesus had been risen. And the resurrection tells us today that there is a risen Savior. And it reminds us not only that we too will go to our grave, but that we too will be raised with Christ from the dead. We will be raised with Him if we are united to Him by faith. The Scripture teaches that Jesus came to save those who believe in Him. And in the resurrection day, that great and glorious day when Jesus raises everyone from the dead, your grave and my grave will look exactly like the tomb that Jesus left behind. Empty, because we will be raised from the dead, united with our soul to eternally dwell with the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. No wonder the angel said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. But he's not done. He has two more words, two more commands to give. The third command is go, which indicates we have a task to perform. Go. We have seen the words come and see, but now the word go tells us that we have to be active. We are commissioned, as these women were commissioned, to go and tell the other disciples. The Lord Jesus tells us in the 28th chapter, towards the end of this chapter, that we are commissioned to take the gospel and to go into all the world and preach the good news. The good news is not something we keep to ourselves. Mary Magdalene and Mary, who came to this grave, didn't say, well, let's just keep this to ourselves. Let's just keep this to ourselves. People will think we're a little bit squirrely in the head if we start talking about an empty tomb. You don't hear any of that. The angel said, go and tell. You have been commissioned, the angel says, to go. You have work to do. They weren't commissioned to stay there and mystically focus on the empty tomb. They might have wanted to linger there and to scratch their head a little bit to try to piece things together and figure it out, but God did it for them. He sent an angel who said, "He's not here, he's risen, now go." It's quite simple. And they needed to go, and they needed to go to Galilee because that's where the other disciples were gathered, and they needed to tell them the good news that Jesus is raised from the dead, that Easter is a time of celebration because it recognizes the triumph of the resurrection in the Lord Jesus Christ. It recognizes that God in the resurrection has fulfilled his promises not only to Christ by raising him from the dead and not leaving his body in Sheol, as Psalm 16 said, but that promise that he gave to Abraham so many years ago would come true, that through Abraham, whose descendant is the Lord Jesus Christ, all of the nations of the world would be blessed. The resurrection is testimony to the work of God's justification of sinners, his justice, that sin is paid for, and that sin has not triumphed, but Christ has triumphed over it, and we now have a living Savior who ever lives, who is Christ Jesus the Lord. Resurrection is victory over sin. Resurrection is victory over damnation. Resurrection is the seal God puts upon the work of Christ on the cross, where he atoned for our sins. Justice with respect to our sins is satisfied, and God now says, "It is finished. It is done. The perfect obedient sacrifice was given." And the resurrection attests to God's accepting that sacrifice for the sin of his people. And our work is to go. To go like these women, like the disciples, and to tell that message. That's the last word, tell. We can't be silent. We have something to say. I guess that's why the angel said not just go, but he said tell. That means you got to use these lips. That means you have to speak a message. And what a joyful message we have. We have a risen Savior who conquered death. And if we have come ourselves and seen by faith that that tomb is empty, then we too, as believers in Jesus Christ, are commissioned to go and tell. And we need to tell others that we meet the message of the gospel of the risen Savior. Good news must be told. It's just something that you do. You've had children, maybe now grandchildren. You take them out on an Easter egg hunt. Last week, the Easter egg hunt here in town was kind of rained out. A little kind of cold, I guess, for those that went. But when the little ones come and they've got a whole bunch of Easter eggs in their basket and they come back when grandma's there or maybe mom and dad, what do? They tell you about it. Oh, they're bubbling over because look how many I found and look at the colors they are. And they're telling you. You can't keep them quiet, can you? Now, if you can't keep kids quiet about Easter eggs, how can Christians be quiet about the greatest news? The glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The marvelous message that he is risen from the dead, he's conquered sin and death, and he is the living Savior. The greatest news in the world is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we as Christians fail to tell others about it? We must not. We must go and tell. And the marvelous encouragement to these women at the grave or the tomb is the same encouragement that you and I have as well. They were told to go, but they were also told that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. He said, don't worry about it. Jesus, who? The risen Savior, who's not here. He's risen. You go, but he's going ahead of you. And there you will see him. Why is that promise so important? Well, we, like them, might be somewhat timid. You might be a little afraid, but what an encouragement to know that Jesus goes ahead of us. We might say with those women, but nobody's going to believe. Can you imagine that? You're at this grave, this tomb. It's empty. You're trying to put it all together. You really don't have all the facts, and your mind is going in circles both ways. Have you ever had that experience where your head spins both ways? How do I put all of these things together? And the angel has all these commands, go and tell. And I'm sure that in their hearts, these women were probably thinking like we do sometimes, they're not going to believe me. They're just hardened against it. And then we sort of say, well, why should I say that? Why should I tell them anything? Because they're just going to not listen anyway. Well, the Lord didn't give these women, doesn't give us that opportunity. He says, go and tell. Tell the message of the gospel. And with that, he promises that the risen Lord would go ahead of them. That is true for you and me as well. For shortly, Jesus would talk to his disciples, commission them to the task of world evangelization with the same message. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Wow, what a job to do. Are we timid? Are we a little bit discouraged that that task is laid on our plate? What did he say after that? Surely I will be with you always, to the end of the age. We have that promise. And what a promise. Jesus is with us, the risen Savior. Jesus goes before us as we go. The risen Savior, in the power of the Holy Spirit, is present with his people to carry out this very command to go and tell. How then can we fail to proclaim such a message to the world in which we live? We have a message. We have a command. We have a gospel. We have a risen Savior. Let us rejoice in it, and let us tell those whom we meet that we serve a risen Savior. They need to know him. They need to hear about him. They must trust in him to be saved. And that's the promise of the gospel. Those who believe in the risen Savior will be saved. Amen. Let us pray.